want to share with you an idea explaining a few things both in the Sedra and in the idea of Sfiras HaOmer. Normally, the idea of Sfiras HaOmer, of counting the days from Pesach till Shavuos, is an idea of she'ifa, of looking forward to the giving of the Torah, anticipating and having a tremendous desire to get the Torah, or linking the freedom of the physical freedom of Pesach with the spiritual freedom of getting the Torah. I was thinking of a different idea of what Sfiras HaOmer is all about, and that is, it is an recognition of the importance of Torah. And that is called Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah is recognizing the importance of the Torah. Kavod, any Kavod. The Chayi Adam, when he explains Kibud Avoein, respecting your parents. So he says that all Kavod is based on recognizing the importance of the thing that you are respecting. You could consider it important. And he says that the word kavod comes from the word kaved, heavy. In the 60s in America, the word heavy in slang meant something important, something deep, right? A heavy idea. Or, hey, these are heavy person. It had nothing to do with their weight. It had to do with their importance. That a person who's heavy, an idea that's heavy, means that it contains its place and can't be just pushed around. It's something you have to contend with, something that's important. So too, says the Chayi Adam, respect comes from a recognition of how important something is. And therefore, respect for the parent is based on the fact that I consider my parents important people. And therefore, I respect them. So it comes from a recognition of importance. Kavod HaTorah is the same thing. Kavod HaTorah is a recognition of how important the Torah is. And that's why every year we renew our relationship to the Torah on the day the Torah was given. Now, the Torah was given, it was given by God directly to us. And it was a very frightening experience. There was thunder and lightning, and it was something that put a lot of fear into us. And we received it, be'ema, with fear and trembling. And that's the way you understand how important it is, right? This must be something extremely important if God himself is giving it and the whole nature is involved in it, then it must be a very important thing. And every year we renew our recognition of the importance of Torah, and because it's so important, we have to continue it on and reaccept it for another year. So part of the idea, therefore, of Sfiras HaOmer is counting the days, not in anticipation, not anxiously, but making the following statement. And this is why we count from lower to higher. If the whole idea of Sfiras HaOmer is aspiring towards Torah, having a tremendous aspiration towards Torah, then we should count down. Oh, I can't wait already for Torah to come. 49 days, 48, 47, like a countdown. Why do we count up? So there are other reasons. But one of the reasons could be that it's not an idea of aspiring towards the Torah, but rather it's an idea of saying the following: I'm now free, and theoretically we could have the Torah, and one day has gone by without the Torah, and 2 days have gone by without the Torah, and I'm bemoaning the fact of how important the Torah is, and I don't have it yet. And that's why we count to the Omer. The Omer is that which permits us to eat from the new crop. Right? Basically, the physical sustenance of a person with the new crop every year begins on the day of the Omer. That's when you're allowed to eat from the crops that grew from the last Pesach till now. Any grain that took root after the 16th day of Nisan the previous year is not allowed to be eaten until the 16th day of Nisan passes over it. So the Omer, the sacrifice of the Omer, permitted you to eat from that new grain. Okay? Yeah, the grain that took root after the 16th day of Nisan, second day of Pesach, is not allowed to be eaten until the next year, the 16th day of Nisan, comes and you bring the sacrifice of the Omer, and when there is no sacrifice of the Omer, until that day passes by. And then you're allowed to eat the new crop.
Are you saying if wheat were grown, were planted after the 16th
day? Right, took root after the 16th day of Nisan, then that wheat is not allowed to be eaten until the next year.
Is that still in existence?
Yes, sure. Here in Eretz Yisrael, outside, you don't check anything. If you buy something with a hechsher, they make sure that the wheat or grain products that are in it, right, what's it called, have had the Omer pass over. So that's called the Isra of Chodesh. Okay, you have to know the questions. Write them down and you can ask me afterwards. Okay. So, therefore, what we're doing is saying the following. It says in Pirkei Avos, Im ein Torah ein kemach. If there's no Torah, there's no really purpose for flour or eating, because our physical existence is only important if we have a spiritual existence. And the physical existence itself loses its importance if there's no Torah. And therefore, from the time that the Omer is brought, we say, wow, we've gone one day with, we can eat, but there's no Torah. So the importance of it is not there yet. We've gone 2 days without that, 3 days, till 49 days without Torah. Every day you remind yourself of how important the Torah is and how terrible it is to be without it. How there's a void and a vacuum when Torah isn't there. So in our yearly reacceptance of the Torah, and a remembrance of the foundation of the Torah, that it came directly from God in such a awesome way, right? We prepare for that by making that statement every day. I've gone 1 day without Torah, 2 days without Torah, to recognize how important it is. Okay. And that's why it says, Kol hamechabed es haTorah gufo mechubed al habrios. Whoever honors the Torah, respects the Torah, his body is respected over all creations. It's one way of learning it. Which means the following. If the Torah is important, the more I recognize the importance of Torah, the more I recognize the importance of my life. Because what's the Torah do? The Torah guides every action, every part of my life is guided by the Torah. And the more important the Torah is, then the more important my life is. And the opposite is also true. The more important my life is, the more important the Torah is. The more I appreciate how important it is what I do, and what I am, and how I act, then the Torah that is the instruction book for that behavior becomes very important. So the Torah's importance is enhanced by understanding how important God considers my life, and my life is enhanced in its importance by understanding how important the Torah is. The Torah is like the instruction book for the world, for man's behavior in the world. And the more important the thing is, the more important the instructions. And the more important the instructions, the more important the thing is. So they gain mutual importance from each other. So therefore, whoever is mechabed the Torah, if you respect the Torah, which we're saying means that you understand how important the Torah is, then that means that your body, even your physical side, is so much more exalted over everything in creation, because the Torah governs how you have to function, even in your more physical ways, even in your physical existence. So it makes it more important than anything else in creation, because man was given the Torah how to function, and that makes every action that he does and everything that he does very important. More important than anything else in creation. The whole creation was created for him. But part of the way of recognizing that is by recognizing the importance of Torah. To recognize the importance of Torah means to give honor to the Torah. So whoever honors the Torah basically is making a statement of how important him, he is, and his actions are, and his behavior and his physical side also. And that's why the Torah says the following: Hishomer lecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od pen kishkach es hadvarim asher ro'eh necha ufen yosuru milvavcha kol yemechayecha v'hodatam levonecha levnei vonecha. I'll repeat in a second: Yom asher amadet lefnei Hashem elkecha b'chorev. And then the Torah goes on and says, v'nishmartem mi'od v'nafshoseichem. Be very, very careful of your life, because you didn't see any form when God spoke to you, but God spoke to you from the heavens, the God who is not a physical God, but the God who is the master of all the universe or whatever. Three things we learn from this. The first thing is that a person has to constantly remember Maimed Har Sinai. He has to remember constantly the giving of the Torah. The day the Torah was given, it's a mitzvah to remember, right, that occasion. Second thing we learn from that whoever forgets something from his learning — Torah used to be oral, most of it — if you forget something from your learning, right, then you are liable to a death penalty for forgetting your learning. Okay. The third thing we learn from that is that a person should be very careful about guarding his health. Shouldn't do things that are unhealthy. It's a mitzvah to be careful about your health. What's the connection between all these things? I was thinking the connection is the following. If you constantly remember the giving of the Torah, okay, that means that you understand how important the Torah is, because the way that it was given, the fact that it was given directly by God, God, kibiyochel, came down and gave us the Torah directly, amongst thunder and lightning, and the whole of nature was involved, that means the Torah is pretty important. So it arouses within us a respect for the Torah, because a recognition of the importance, like we said. If that's the case, and the Torah is so important that you don't forget important things, right? Then if it's so important, then you remember it. Things that you forget are things that are non-consequential, are not important to you. So therefore, if a person forgets Torah, it means not that important to him. It's something that incidental and inconsequential. So that in itself, the fact that you forgot it, shows that it wasn't important to you. Because if you forgot it because you got sick, or because you couldn't review it because it was impossible, this doesn't apply. It applies to a person who forgets it because he doesn't consider it important. And it's not important enough to review, it's not important enough to keep in your mind, so it goes together. If you constantly remember the source of the giving of the Torah, Maimed Har Sinai, then you'll understand and respect the importance of Torah, and then you won't come to forget it. And if you do, that means that you don't really appreciate the importance of Torah, and you've forgotten also its source. And therefore, if you understand how important the Torah is, then you understand how important you are, because the Torah is directed at you and everything you do. And if the Torah is important, then you're important. And if you're important, even your physical side is important, then you better watch your health, because you're a very important person, and it would be a shame to waste the degree of importance a human being has by getting sick or by neglecting your health. So therefore, all of these things go together. Part of the covet of the Torah is, it says that Rabbi Akiva used to darshan tilei tilim shel halachos, heaps of laws from the crowns on the letters of the Torah. The Torah is so important that it's not just important in general, but something important, every specific part of it is important. Every line, every nuance is important. And therefore Rabbi Akiva used to take the time to look into every crown on every letter and see why it's there. It's not just there incidentally. If it's part of the Torah, it's like a tremendously important machine, or what's the word for a like a computer or whatever. It's not called a machine, it's called a not a piece of equipment. It's called a what?
Technology.
It's technology, but there's a word for it. What things are that technological things are? They're not machines. They
equipment.
Are what?
Equipment.
equipment, the other, but not also.
What did you close
on? The which, where?
Just now.
Just now?
When you read that.
Oh, that's a Gemara. Gemara Menachos. That Rabbi Akiva used to, Darshan, used to learn out.
Before that, when you gave us the 3 points about to remember constantly.
Yishomer Lechoshmor. It was a sentence in the book of Devarim, in Parshas Voeschana. In any case, so that if you have a machine already. If you have a machine, there's a better word for it. If you have a machine, and it's a very important machine, then every wire, every circuit, every little thing is important. There's nothing there that's just incidental. If it would be incidental, it wouldn't be there. It's not just there for decoration. It's there because the machine can't function properly if every little button and every little wire is not in its proper place. So if you see this machine, right, and you understand how important it is, right, and how complex it is, and you want to understand it, you're going to give your attention to every little piece, every little wire. You're not going to ignore anything.
Instrument.
Right? An instrument? Yeah, that's a good word. That's better. That's getting
device,
closer.
Device?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'll hear it, it'll hit me, but those are good. Instruments and devices are good. Right? So, therefore, what's it called? Every little bit part of it is important. And if you want to learn that device, that instrument, you're going to have to pay attention to every nuance and every small thing. That's Rabbi Akiva. Has such tremendous covet for the Torah, a recognition of its importance, that he used to take every little crown. Why is that here? What do I learn from that? And he used to learn mounds of laws from every little crown. That's the ultimate in Kavod HaTorah. With that, I wanted to explain the following Medrash. The Medrash says the following. Rabbi Akiva Hayadoresh. Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha. And Bikshu HaTalmidim Lenamnim. And the students weren't paying attention. They started to go to sleep. Right? They started to not pay attention, and not sleep, but drimmel. Drimmel means you're awake, but you're not awake. If somebody talks to you, you hear, but you're not able to initiate a conversation. You're somewhere in the twilight zone, not here, not there. Okay. And Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake them up. So he said to them, what did Esther see that enabled her to rule over 127 provinces? Let Esther, the great-great-granddaughter of Sari Menu, who lived 127 years, rule over 127 provinces. So they all woke up. What in the world does Sari's 127 years have to do with Esther's 127 provinces, except that they're the same number? And Rabbi Akiva went on. What was the message? What did he want to do? Based on what we're talking about now, I want to say the idea is the following. Rabbi Akiva was darshaning all these nuances from the crowns on the letters. That's what Rabbi Akiva did. His students didn't realize how important all this was, and to them, it's a little line. What's the big deal? So they weren't paying attention. They were ambivalent to Rabbi Akiva's drashas because they didn't appreciate, really, how important the Torah was. You know, it's like somebody who is investigating and looking into the function of, you know, a small wire in this gigantic machine, and somebody who doesn't appreciate the value and importance of the function of the machine is not going to pay attention, right? You want to tell me more important things? You want to go into little wires? I'm not interested in hearing about little wires. But if little wire is so important because the machine is important, and without that little wire, the totality of the impact of this machine is not going to be realized, then the wire is very important. So Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim didn't appreciate the real importance of Torah like Rabbi Akiva. So he wanted to awaken them to how important it is. And he said the following. You know, Esther ruled over 127 provinces. Well, no big deal. I mean, that's not the purpose of life, to become the queen of Persia and rule over 127 provinces. But Esther realized that every single thing in life is important because the Torah guides everything. And it's involved with every aspect of life. That means that every aspect of life must be important. And if she was forced to to enter the palace of Ahasuerus and end up being the queen, which to her was not important at all. And surely not ruling over 127 provinces, that was not what was important in her life, right? But if God put her in that situation, then there must be a reason why, and to her it became very important to rule over those 127 provinces. Why? Because she looked back at Sara Imenu. Sara Imenu lived 127 years. It says that every single second of those years was used for the good, was important. Because Sara realized how important life is, because the Torah guides every single part of life, so life must be important. And therefore it says that Sara's beauty was important to her, and her fear of heaven was important to her. Everything was important to her. Everything that to other people is insignificant, not that important, to her it was important, because it was all part of her life, which is all part of Torah. Torah governs all of life. So what did Esther do? What did she see that enabled her to realize the importance of ruling over the 127 provinces? And because of that, she ended up saving the Jewish people. Because she looked back at Sara Imenu, where every point of her life was important. 127 years, every second was important to her, right? Because she realized that the Torah makes life important, and therefore life makes the Torah important. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva told his students, don't be ambivalent to the little lines that I'm darshaning over here, because every little line is another aspect of life, and life is very important, and Torah is very important. That was the message he tried to get. If that's the case, that the students of Rabbi Akiva, their problem over here was that they didn't appreciate the real importance of Torah. And therefore, if you don't appreciate the real importance, you don't appreciate the importance of extending it. They were the ones who were responsible to be the transmitters of the Torah to the next generation. And if you don't really appreciate the importance of Torah, you can't transmit it properly, because in order to give it over to the next generation, they have to appreciate how important it is. And that's why it has to be a continuation from Maimon Har Sinai. God gave the Torah on Har Sinai. It's very important, therefore I have a responsibility to continue that and give it over generation after generation. And every year Sfiras HaOmer reminds me in a very personal way that I have to renew my recognition of the importance of Torah yearly and remember how we got the Torah and when we got the Torah, how important it is. And therefore, what was the sin of the students of Rabbi Akiva which caused their death? Lo nohagu kovet zebezeh. They didn't respect each other. Not that they disrespected, but they didn't disrespect. They didn't act with respect to each other. Meaning, they didn't really appreciate the importance of Torah and how it relates to a human being. If Torah is important and the Torah is the guidebook for human life, then human life is extremely important. But because they didn't appreciate the real importance of every nuance of Torah, which Rabbi Akiva was darshaning for them, Memela, they didn't appreciate the living Sifrei Torah, that every person's life is an expression of the importance of Torah. So they didn't act in the full respect to each other because they didn't appreciate the importance of the Torah, the importance of each other. And therefore it says there was two other sins they had. They didn't share their Torah one with the other because they didn't consider the Torah important enough to share, or the other person important enough to share with. And therefore, it says they didn't fill the whole of Eretz Yisrael with Torah. They didn't spread Torah to everyone because they didn't consider it an important enough thing to do, nor did they consider the people important enough to be involved with. But if they had to appreciate how important Torah is, and how important every Jew is, if every line of Torah is important, then every Jew is important, then they would have shared their Torah with each other, they would have respected each other differently, and they would have filled their Israel with Torah. So what was their basic sin? Not recognizing the real importance of Torah, and not therefore giving it the proper honor. Because of that, they died during the time of Sfiras HaOmer. Because the Sfiras HaOmer, like we're saying, is to remind us every year of how important the Torah is and to give the proper honor to it. And they were on a more important level the people who were supposed to give the Torah over to the next generation, the transmitters of Torah, and if you don't really appreciate the importance, you can't be a transmitter. So in the time when everybody has to remember the importance of Torah and revitalize and enhance their honor of Torah by counting the Omer, right, up to the our yearly reacceptance of the Torah, reconnection with Maamad Har Sinai, that's when they died, to teach us that that was their problem. They weren't able to be the transmitters of Torah because they didn't appreciate the real importance of Torah, nor the people learning Torah, nor the people observing the Torah. Okay. And that is the foundation of Yohavta Re'acha Kamocha. This week's Sedra, it also speaks about loving your neighbor as yourself. But one of the basics, before you can love somebody, you have to respect them. If you don't respect them, you can't love them. So the foundation of love is honor and respect. And therefore, it says that Rabbi Akiva said, the Ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha Zeklal Gadol BaTorah. If you want to really understand the Torah, you have to understand the respect and love that you have to give another Jew. Because if every Jew is important enough to respect and even to go beyond that in love, surely the Torah is important. And that's why Ben Asai said, I have a better proof to that. Another sentence in the Torah. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. This is the book of the generations of man. That's what Torah is. Torah is the guidebook for human beings. And if Torah is important, then what it guides is important. If the instructions are important, what they give instructions to is important. And therefore the human life is very important too. And that's why it says in Kala Rabosi, it's a small mesechta in the Gemara, that one of the Tanoim told his students, Kibdu Echad Hasheni, honor each other. Give honor to each other. And when you daven, know in front of whom you're davening. What's the connection between them? Very simple. If you honor your friend, that means you consider him important. And that means that you consider Jewish life or human life important, because the Torah guides every aspect of human life. And that means when you daven, what are you davening for? Basically what a person davens for is health and wealth and physical things. Davening is called chayishah. It's called temporal life. You daven normally for the physical needs and material needs of life. So one could say, how important is that? But if you really respect each other and you respect how important human life is, then when you daven, right, for the physical things of life, you'll know in front of whom you're standing. You're standing in front of God, because to God these things are important too. It's not just that you're asking because you need it. You're asking it because God considers it important. And that's why it says in the Zohar that when you read this Sedra, especially when we read it on Yom Kippur, this is the parasha that we read on Yom Kippur, Achrei Mos Shnei Bnei Aaron. It speaks about the Avod of Yom Kippur. It starts after the death of Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron. It says, whoever sheds a tear for Nadav and Avihu, when they read this parasha, it has tremendous power to forgive his sins. It's always bothered me. How in the world could you shed a tear for Nadav and Avihu? They died, you know, thousands of years ago. Never met them. How can you shed a tear for them, right? I really feel bad that Nadav and Avihu died. First of all, right, I read this last year, the year before that. You know, how emotional can you get over two people who died thousands of years ago? But I think the idea is that if you really know the importance of Torah, and here Avoda, the Kohanim, the Kohuna, Avoda Sashem, and you realize that because these two people died, they weren't able to be the transmitters of Avoda, the foundation of Avoda, and you realize what's missing, then you can shed a tear, not for the two individuals, but for what they represent and how important it is. And because of that, something's missing by you. It's something missing in the Jewish people. It's not something that happened thousands of years ago. It's something that has an effect till today, that those two people, what they could have accomplished for all generations, was lost because they died. And that's the same mourning for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. If they couldn't be the transmitters of Torah, had they transmitted the Torah, that the Torah is so important that it would have been enhanced by 24,000 students transmitting it, and not 5 students as it was in the end. And I appreciate how important the Torah is and how important the transmission of Torah is, and people who don't appreciate that and they had to die, that's why I mourn for them. Because by mourning for them, I understand how important they really were and how important the Torah is, and that's the whole purpose of Sfiras HaOmer. So the rabbis instituted a mourning for the students of Rabbi Akiva to enhance our appreciation of what Sfiras HaOmer is. And therefore, part of the avoda, part of what we're supposed to accomplish during Sfiras HaOmer, is this idea of recognizing how important Torah is. Every day you count. Today is one day in the Omer. Yes, I've gotten out of Egypt, and I can even eat the new crop. But how unimportant is it without Torah? So if I don't renew my understanding of the importance of Torah, then the eating and the freedom is lacking a lot of importance that it could have, that Torah gives to life, to the physical side of life, to freedom. And it's one day already, and I don't have the Torah yet. And how important it is, the Torah is, that I'm bemoaning the fact that I have a day without Torah, and 2 days without Torah, and 3 days without Torah. When is the Torah going to come? That gives me a tremendous aspiration to get the Torah, but it comes from a recognition of the importance of Torah. Right? And according to this, there's a question, why don't we make a Shechiyonu on Sfiras HaOmer? We don't make a Shechiyonu when we start counting the Omer. So some say because it's reminiscent of the fact that we don't have a temple and we don't have these sacrifices of the Omer, so we can't make a Shechiyonu. There's other answers too. But according to this, it's because when I count the Omer, it's really with a tinge of sadness. A day has gone by and I don't have the Torah yet. 2 days have gone by and I don't have the Torah. So it's not something to make a Shechiyonu on, right? The Shechiyonu we make when we get to Shavuos, and we make the Shechiyonu for getting the Torah. So until then, every day reminds me that I don't have the Torah yet, and I know how important it is and how much I'm missing. On that, you don't make a Shechiyonu. That's a sadness. That's not something to rejoice over.
Why would the question even come up?
Because it's a mitzvah. Every mitzvah, new mitzvah that you do, you make a Shechiyonu. You have a chance to have lived to this point and do this new mitzvah. So why don't we make a Shechiyonu on counting the Omer, like any mitzvah that we do from time to time?
It's almost like God wanted us to refine ourselves to be worthy enough to take it so seriously and respect each other and respect the Torah and respect the words of the Torah.
Right, 100%.
And do it 100%, not like, you know, maybe partially. Aaron's sons, they didn't do it with the full covet.
Okay.
And therefore, they took on maybe the sins of all of us so that all the generations can know how important it is to take his law so seriously.
Very good. Very good. Very
I
good.
Feel like every day when I look, oh, be compassionate and be, you know,
right.
all
okay.
those things
right.
with kindness and how
right.
can you help another person
okay.
without being judgmental.
Okay.
All those things make me a better person so I'm more worthy
right.
of receiving
And
this Torah
being a better person is important because the Torah makes everything important.
Okay. Right.
Yes.
Leading up to receiving the Torah when they were in the desert, like what was like the...
Well, they knew that once they would get out of Egypt, the purpose was to receive this Torah. And leading up to it was, then, it was exactly this idea. We're free, God has given us all the physical comforts, but there's something missing. And today is already one day without that, and 2 days without that, and 3 days without that. According to what we're saying now, it was both a preparation for the Torah. It was a recognition of the importance of Torah and how bad it is without it, and an aspiration then to get the Torah. All three things together was what Sfiras HaOmer was all about. That was the preparation.
Why did Rabbi Akiva's students step down from the Chumash?
Why on Lag BaOmer? I think next week we will speak about that. I can't answer you on one foot, okay? But I think next week is still before Lag BaOmer, and it's the Sfiras HaOmer is in the Sedra, so probably my drasha will have to do something with that, and I will answer the question.
Also, did the ones who didn't die on Lag BaOmer, did they die then afterwards?
That's a difference of opinion. Some say they completely stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, and some say that they stopped on that day. Nobody died on that day, but the ones that had to die died after that. But if they stopped on Lag BaOmer, you need an understanding why that was the last day. And if it was just a time out, you have to understand why taka that day not. That will explain. There's two or three different ideas why.
All of this sounds like it's a reason for people to be going out and like helping their fellow Jew, especially the one who doesn't understand the importance of Torah. And,
right, 100%. But, you know, the way you help other people, right, you can have a glass of water and you can share it around and pour it out, then it becomes empty. Mm-hmm. The best way to do is to keep pouring water into that glass and let it overflow into others. So part of being able to influence other people is not running out to influence them, but making yourself greater and greater so you have what to overflow onto other people. Right? So you can't ignore your own development by trying to develop other people, because then nobody's going to gain. So you have to at the same time build yourself up with the intention, though, I'm building myself up both to be a better example to other people and to have what to give over to other people.
But
so they go together, yeah. But a person who learns without any intention of giving it over to anybody, just for his own personal selfish purpose, that's not called learning. Learning has to be in order to teach. That doesn't mean you have to be a teacher. It means in order to share it with someone else, with other people, whoever you can share it with, whoever you have either responsibility for or the ability to influence.
Okay.